All right. Remember this? From question to confidence. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 9? Isaiah chapter 9. Just remember this. Our God is bringing us to the place He brought Paul. There's not a person in here that God does not want this. Stay there in Isaiah. 2 Timothy 1:12. Paul said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." There's not a person in here that God does not have a desire for you to know Him. Now, you might not know that, but those of us that have studied the Word of God, we do. And you need to know Him. First of all, to escape hell. Secondly, to be in His presence. Thirdly, ultimately, you will know His love for you. Praise God for that. And so as we look into God's Word, we recognize what God is doing. Remember we started out with this, six things God can do. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at this. God can turn night into day, and we went to Isaiah 9:2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. That same one who came as the light, when He came here on earth, told His own, told us in Matthew 5, verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." He said this, "Let your light so shine before men." Why? "That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We talked about that in Sunday school, that God brings situations into our lives for this. He desires to glorify Himself because all people need to know Him. And we need to know and understand this, that not only can our God turn darkness to light, we're going to see this morning He can turn bondage to freedom. Bondage to freedom. In Christ, and free indeed. God can turn bondage into freedom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Your will be done in this time. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Few things are as repulsive as the idea of slavery. Somebody can buy a machine. Somebody can buy something. Somebody can give somebody money for their time to build a product, do whatever. But slavery is absolutely repulsive. And when we stop to think of the slavery, we wind up thinking about it in past tense. Folks, it's going on right now. Right now. And in some places in America, according to our own Homeland Security, quote, "Human trafficking involves the use of force, fraud, or coercion to obtain some type of labor or even a commercial sex act. Every year, millions of men, women, and children are trafficked worldwide, even in the United States. It can happen in any community, and victims can be any age, race, gender, or nationality, traffickers might use violence, manipulation, or false promises of well-paying jobs or romantic relationships to lure victims into trafficking situations. My wife and I will never forget, in 1997, we were in Mexico City. We were getting ready to travel with our missionary at that time, Dwayne Schindel. We were going to be, in the next 5 days, I would wind up preaching 5 times in 4 different churches, but literally in 5 days, we traveled 1,000 miles. It was an amazing time, but when we were still in Mexico City, it was very late at night. We were on a large highway. And as we stopped, remember, it is very late at night. It's coming up on midnight. The traffic is heavy. It comes to a stop. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, come scores of children. And they're going to each of the cars and they're begging for money. I mean, I couldn't believe it. All of a sudden, I'm sitting in the passenger seat and there's a kid banging on the window. And the missionary said, "Don't roll your window down. They're begging." And he told us, this is what takes place. They have a handler. They've got somebody that is off-site but very near. They have those kids and they send them out. When the traffic slows down, they send them out to beg. And when those kids are done, he gets them aside and he gets the money from them. And he uses fear tactics, anything he can. He takes care of them. He'll feed them meagerly, but they are his slaves. And they are there to collect money for him. I couldn't believe it. It absolutely broke my heart. Now, please, do not misunderstand. Do not misunderstand. I despise physical slavery. But we have an enemy. And he uses, not only with people like that, but with the most affluent, the ones that think they have it all, he uses spiritual slavery. We have people that are enslaved to their money. They're enslaved to their drugs. They're enslaved to a wicked thought life. They're enslaved to their sin. And it is all over the world. We see the results of it right here in the United States. Satan has excelled in bondage. There are those, I find it absolutely so sad. You know, I know that he wasn't a Christian. And that's one of the things that breaks my heart. I didn't like it when he would wind up being crude and I'd shut him off. But there was something about the comedy of Robin Williams that I thought was just funny. My wife and I go up here to this campsite. We love going up there, up at Yuba Gap. Right there next to Yuba Gap, going up Interstate 80, there is another place that you can get off the highway, Nyack. And there at Nyack, you can stop and you can buy gas. You'll pay $20 a gallon sometimes. It blows me away. But they have a place, you know, you've got a Burger King, and then you've got a store there, and you can come in and get all kinds of stuff. And there were celebrities that went in there, and they got into a habit when they would come in, they would sign one of the pillars. And so what the company did a while, the company that owned it after a while, they would put up clear plastic and cover the places where people signed. You know, because they thought, you know, hey, put the date, you know, and so here, so-and-so was here, this football player was here. And one of those that signed was Robin Williams. And he put, you know, Let's see. How did it go? Wish I were beautiful. Someone, I'm here. You know, wish I was. It was something funny. All of a sudden, I can't think of it, but it was funny. I felt so bad for him. Folks, he's got a soul too. He's got an eternal soul. And he wound up in a situation where he was getting depressed. There were things that he had done that were his fault, that were costing him much. And then he was getting some kind of disease. I can't remember exactly what it was, and that's not important right now. But the point is it got to him so bad that he thought it's time to end it. It's horrible to think about. But can you imagine what goes through somebody's mind when they come to the point they're saying, I'm ending it all? That is not God's plan for people. By the way, that's not God's plan for you. I better get more than a couple of amens for that. It's the truth. You know, our God knows when to take us home. He knows. But I just found it to be so sad that he wound up hanging himself. And there's others. It's the same thing. Satan excels at bondage. Satan excels at bringing people under his power. Jesus Christ excels in setting people free. He excels in doing that. With Satan, he wound up there in the garden. First of all, he questioned God's word. Yea, hath God said. Then he denied God's word. Ye shall not surely die. And then he went on to tell his own truth. Ye shall be as gods. And that's what he has been doing. But the real truth is, Jesus Christ came to set people free. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and he is truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So it's not medicine. It's not psychiatry. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's the Savior that came. He sets men and women free. Teenagers, children, he sets them free. That's why we have the RU program here. It is absolutely discipleship on steroids, letting people know they have hope in Christ. Amen? We do too. Do this. Go to Romans chapter 6, would you? Romans chapter 6. I've got a dear friend here this morning. He has spent much in his life in telling people these same things. And I know this would warm his heart because there are people that have come to him, said, what do I do? What do I do? Look at verse 16, Romans 6. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, those of you that have been here in the church for a long time, you know that I love verse 17. This was something that I remember hearing from Brother Jim Benny. Watch this. Look at verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. And watch this. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was given to you. Now listen, this is what takes place. Your actions, what you do, go from the head to the heart to the hand. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking to do is get things in your head so the Spirit can use them in the heart and convict you and convince you that your hope is in Jesus Christ. That he died for you as much as anybody else. And I don't know what your challenge might be, but friend, God loves you. You might not recognize how much he does, but he loves you. He died for you as much as anyone else in this room, as much as anyone else in this world. And His desire is to set you free. I have found it so sad, absolutely gut-wrenching, when there have been people that have looked me straight in the eye and they have said, I don't need Jesus. And the sad thing is, it was written all over their face and all over their lifestyle. They needed to be set free. They needed Jesus Christ. It's like the person who says, smoking, who cares? I can quit. I've done it 1,000 times. Listen, it's not smoking that'll get you to hell. As somebody said, it'll just make you smell like you've been there. But it's having things in your life, no matter what they are, that take His place. He's trying to tell you, I love you. I care for you. So this is what we're going to be looking at. Hey, you can be set free from whatever it is in your life. Maybe some things you don't even realize as much as you should. There's two important points that we need to make here. Two important points. I would encourage you to write them down, and then we're going to move on. Number one, you are what you think. You are what you think. The Bible tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Number two, you live according to who you rely on. Now catch that, please. Number one, you are what you think, because it all goes up here. That's why we're going to be looking at here soon what we'll be looking at. But then secondly, you live according to who you rely on. Who is it that gives you the greatest comfort this morning? Now, I love my wife. I love her dearly, and I am so glad that God did not take her coming up about 2.25 years ago. I am so glad. But you know, my hope is in the Lord. You might have somebody that you rely on greatly. But the Bible tells us it's better to put your trust in the Lord than your confidence in man. And that is a fact. Because mankind has sinned. Now, again, we can rely on people. They can have a track record. And I praise God for God's faithful in this fellowship. But the fact of the matter is, none of us have reached perfection when it comes to having our new bodies and being in heaven. Only God is the one that we can rely on completely. Completely. You know, if you go to Mark chapter 5, and go ahead and go there. If you go to Mark chapter 5, Jesus was busy. Oh man, He was busy. There were people that needed to be set free. First of all, there was one that He needed desperately, freedom from demons. He was the maniac of Gadara. He tore His clothes. They couldn't catch Him and all this. Jesus came. He was filled with demons. Legion, they were called. Jesus cast them out. Look at verse 15, Mark 5. These who lived in the area come to Jesus and see Him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, watch this, sitting, clothed, and in His right mind. That's what Jesus did for him. Later on, there was a woman who had an issue of blood. She had a disease. Oh, that the Lord, if all I did was just touch Him, touch His clothing. She had faith. He will heal me. And that's what happened. Toward the end of that story there in Mark chapter 5, verse 28, for she said, if I may but touch His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. God set somebody free from a physical ailment. By the way, God can still do that. He can still do that if it's His will. And then toward the end, there was a father that had been begging for his daughter. He said, I'll come and heal her. Others who said, you're going to... They laughed at him. What took place? Verse 41, Matthew 5. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. We can look at that and we can think, wow, that is incredible. Look how God set people free. Set a girl free from death. Set a woman free from a disease. Set a man free from demons. But then we might start thinking, well, God doesn't do these things anymore. Oh, yes, He does. He is here to set people free right now. And that's what we're talking about here. From bondage to freedom. Go to Romans chapter 12, if you would, please. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 1. I beseech you, after all Paul had written in the book of Romans, now Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, he's speaking to Christians. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can start right this day on this road, right here. You can start by trusting Christ. With God's people, he says this, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the what? The renewing of your mind. See, every day, the world wants you to think their way. They'll give you commercials. They'll give you advertisements that just stick with you. And they do stick with you. I can remember now, at 66, I can remember commercials about cereal as a kid. By the way, where in the world, and I hesitate to say this because you're going to wind up having it go through your mind. Where in the world did anybody get this idea that a good healthy cereal named Sugar Pops, which was shot with sugar through and through, would be good for you? How many of you remember that commercial? How many of you have cavities from way back when because you ate Sugar Pops? We get stuff in our minds. That's where God wants to do His best work for this age. His greatest work was salvation for us. But now, He's got the daily work of bringing us more and more into His image. And it begins with what's up here. Because according to Romans 6:17, it goes from the head to the heart to the hand. In other words, you wind up being convinced in the heart of what God has told you. And you live it out in your life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And a Christian that is in bondage to sin is not the kind of person that is going to be having a light shine for the freedom that is in Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would. We're going to be going to some scripture this morning, so please bear with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now look at verse 4. Remember, this freedom that we have in Christ that starts with our salvation, but now there's work that needs to be done. Look at verse 4, 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Listen, Satan's strongholds are thoughts. Even right now, the devil is trying to get you to not pay attention to God's word because he hates it. Have you noticed how people get so carried away today with their phones? Now, you know it. You know as well as I do. I go over to the Capitol, and all the time you wind up going into the elevator, and here's people. They're checking the weather. They checked it 8 minutes ago. But it's, you know, there. And you're getting tempted. Some of you are getting tempted to look at it right now. Aren't you? Football season is over, and the XFL isn't worth watching. Listen, here's the point. Anytime you wind up in a place, either by yourself or in a fellowship, in a Sunday school class, in a Bible study with folks, anytime you can bank on it, Satan doesn't want you to pay attention to God's word. He wants to keep you right there. See, he lost your soul. You trusted Christ. He's lost your company in hell. But he can sure do everything he can to keep you from living out what Christ wants in your life. And Christ is there to tell you, the freedom that I purchased for you isn't just for salvation. It's for life. Listen, your eternal life started the day you were saved, Christian. My eternal life started January 14th, 1967. I praise God for it. I was 13 years old. Satan has had a heyday sometimes in my life since then. But he didn't have to. I have a complete salvation. All I do to wind up stumbling is I believe his lie. You know, like, ye shall be as gods. No. Not there. Not there. What is a stronghold? Somebody put it like this. A stronghold is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes me to accept as unchangeable something that we know is contrary to the will of God. If you look up Vine's expository dictionary of Old and New Testament words, it says this, those things in which mere human confidence is imposed. It's a system of belief built on a lie. Spiros Zodiades, a Greek scholar, says a stronghold is made up of imaginations. These are thoughts that are hostile to the gospel. Thoughts are statements we make to ourselves. We're talking to ourselves all the time. Now, I don't mean, you know, you're stumbling along like somebody who, you know, there are three sheets in the wind and you're, you know, you're talking out loud and you're being silly. No, no. You're talking to yourself all the time. When you especially look in God's Word or you start meditating on the Lord and you start to use, if you're not careful, you start to use reasoning. Well, I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't be a witness like that. We tell ourselves, I can't keep from this sin. Folks, we do it. We do it sometimes so imperceptibly. Is that a word? We don't even hardly recognize what we're doing. But that's why some people get discouraged. yea, bitter, yea, despondent, because we don't recognize the self-talk. Now, we said this. We started out with this. Jesus Christ came. One of the changes He can make, He can take us from bondage to freedom. And He can. But we need to quit listening to ourselves and start listening to Him. Amen? We need to start listening to Him. James chapter 4, verse 6. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. That's the first step. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You need to take care of the first things first. Submit yourselves to God. Humble yourselves. You are in absolute surrender. Lord, whatever it is that you want. Now, by the way, I know what it means. I know what it feels like to be incredibly discouraged. I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to be despondent. I know what it feels like. And there's times you have gotten so much into it that you can almost feel like your mind is battling you. But God gives freedom. He is hope. He brings hope in Himself. He brings it in His Word. He says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Double-mindedness is another way of saying we're wishy-washy when it comes to what we believe. We're not settled on the Word of God. Listen, there's a cure for that. You know, kind of like my wife is saying, honey, I don't want you to get sick. Take vitamin C. Take garlic. How many of you take that kind of stuff? You know, if you're feeling discouraged, take the Word of God. Hey, find out what God's Word has to say and then hear it. Meditate on it. Let it take root. And when it takes root, it grows fruit. That's what we need to know. There's a man by the name of Martin Lloyd-Jones that I have enjoyed reading. In his book on Sermon on the Mount, he said this. He said, faith is primarily thinking. He said, think about what when Christ, when he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he said this, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Hey, anybody here you know better than a chicken? Anybody here you know better than a cat? There are some people in here, they think everything is better than a cat. But you know what I mean? If God takes care of the sparrow, and He calls all the stars in the universe by name, you think He's going to forget you? But sin and Satan comes along and convinces you it's true. That's wrong. Because God so loved the world. If there's anybody that is not in the world that's here listening to this message, I want to meet you. I've never met anybody from outer space. You're in the world. Amen? Note to self. We're going to put in a coffee dispenser next week back there in the front. You know what I'm getting at. Now think about it. I hope and pray that that's what's happening, that you're thinking. Because we need to know if He takes care of the birds of the air, if He takes care of the flowers of the field, if He takes care of the trees, He's going to take care of us. Faith is primarily thinking. He says, what is faith? It is a man insisting upon thinking when everything seems determined to bludgeon him and knock him down. You turn on the news. By the way, I've gotten to where I just don't turn on the news anymore. I know what they want me to hear. I know what they want me to see. I just soon have what God's Word says. It's not that I'm ignoring it. I understand what's going on. But the news is going to try to get you to think this. The coronavirus is going to kill you and shrivel you up before the sun is down. No, it's not. No, it's not. The world is chaos. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're here and you're hearing God's Word. And if you're not saved, you're learning that Jesus loves you and He died for you. And you can know that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. That's what you're learning. And that's good. That's good. The trouble with a person of little faith, Martin Lloyd-Jones concluded, was this. Instead of controlling his own thought, his thought is being controlled by something else. That is not thought. It is the absence of thought, a failure to think. So we need to say, okay, by God's grace, my desire is to bring my thoughts, as 2 Corinthians 10 tells me, under control. Jim Berg talked about this. When it's unbelief, a Christian can think this, I'm not safe. I must have something more. I must have something more than God. I don't like having the certainty that I want. I'll do whatever it takes to get the certainty that I want. You know, there's going to be people that will sell their souls to Satan to get some kind of a certainty. When that time comes, in the world's near future, they'll take that mark on their forehead because that will guarantee that I'll be able to buy food. No. Biblical trust says this, I am safe in God's care. I don't need anything more to do God's will today. In fact, I can put all my effort into serving God and others today because I am safe in God's care. That is bondage to freedom. That is what that is. The New Testament calls us to mental discipline. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, Paul told the church at Ephesus. He wrote the church at Thessalonica this, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. To the church at Colossae, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I've got more that I would like to share this morning, but I can't. I don't have time. But I'd like to share this. Go to Psalm, the first Psalm, would you please? Psalm 1. There are some Psalms that are such a blessing to people. This very first one, it's amazing how the Lord made sure this was right here to set the tone for the book of Psalms. David writes this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, what's the reward of that? Instead of listening, you know, walking, standing, sitting with the wicked to get to glean from them, what's the reward in delighting in the law of God? Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There is no failure when you are in the middle of God's perfect will. Not only has He set us free, He has set us up for His glory. Now you need to start out with salvation. No person has any hope outside of Jesus Christ. We love John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the word believe doesn't just merely mean mental assent. It means I'm putting my faith and trust in Christ who said He could save me. That's what that word means. And He did. He did tell us that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. That word death means separation from God. It's separation that is forever, except because of Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. A wage is what you earn. But the gift of God, different word, you don't earn salvation. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul went on to tell the church there in Rome, in chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the word confess means to say the same thing as, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe, there's that word believe again, believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Satan desires to enslave. His greatest slavery, as we read in the Scripture, is he seeks to keep blind people that need Christ. I pray that God open your eyes this morning if you don't know Him. If you do know Him, recognize this. His work in you travels very simply from the head to the heart to the hand. Put His Word in your head. Let the Spirit of God work through your heart, and it will come out in your actions. Our God can turn bondage to freedom. Let's pray.